We believe in the God of the everyday resurrection. Thank you so much, Joe Mitchell. That was such a brilliant spoken word. And welcome to our Sunday morning Easter service. Bit of a cheer. Yay. Yay. And I'm going to say, Tim, he's risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So how about we can all join in, whether you're at home, whether you're here in the building. This is a kind of an ancient phrase that we say on Easter Sunday. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
I think we can do it one more time. I didn't set it up properly, did I? So you join in with him. Tim. Him called Tim. I'm Rachel. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Yay. So thank you so much for joining in and humouring me. Today is Easter Sunday. It's a big deal in our church. It's a big deal in our nation at this time in our nation, isn't it, Tim? Because obviously, like Joey said, it's been a really tricky, difficult year. So we're so glad that you're here in the building and we're so glad that you're tuning in at home too.
And it is a great time to celebrate. And if you're at home and you'd like to join in with the chat, either on YouTube or Facebook, how about answering this question? What are you doing this Easter weekend to celebrate? I know for us, it's rule of six outside, so we're going to put our jumpers and our coats and our hot water bottles on. We're going to have our family lunch outside in our garden. But if you're online, put down in the chat how you're celebrating this Easter weekend. Now, just to explain what's going to happen in our service, we're going to have some worship in a moment or two. There's going to be then the chance for a few little videos of stories of people's real lives encounter with Jesus. There's going to be, Dave's going to give a talk, but we are also this Sunday going to celebrate communion. So if you're at home and you'd like to join in, then do at some point grab yourself some juice, grab a bit of bread, and as we celebrate communion here with about 100 people in the building, you can celebrate with us back at home. But I'm going to take a chance to pray. So if you're here in the room, if you'd like to stand, if you're at home and you want to stand as well, you're very welcome. But let's stand as we start our service and as I say a prayer together. And this Easter, it's true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God. He's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, as we celebrate, as we remember you, Jesus, and the fact you conquered death, you ushered in that new kind of age of that kingdom life. We want to, this morning, celebrate you, King Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let's have some lovely worship together.
Oh, hero, I've heard you conquered. God, we have come to remember that you have done a great thing. It may have been 2,000 years ago, but it is so great today. It is good news to us today that you rose from the grave. And even though in this room we can't sing, our hearts cry aloud, hallelujah. Christ is risen from the dead, triumphing over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, and we are one with him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Thank you.
Jesus, as we sing these words, Jesus, we are reminding ourselves as we sing these words of how powerful, how amazing, how beautiful you are and what you have done for us. We're not remembering a myth. We're not retelling an ancient story that doesn't have any weight to it. We're actually singing truth about you, Jesus, and what you have done. And as we celebrate today and we link ourselves right back to that very first Easter 2,000 years ago, we stand before you and say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us, for what you did for me. The reality of what you faced at the cross, the reality of going through the most excruciating form of death, lying in a cold tomb in a cold grave for 3 days and then bursting out in glorious praise on Easter Sunday. We thank you, Jesus, that you are doing that today. You're breaking in to lives, you're breaking into communities, you're breaking into situations. You're bringing your peace where there's chaos. You're bringing your healing where we need breakthrough. You're bringing truth to bear in our lives where we're sort of tossed around by lies. And right now, Jesus, today we praise you. We say you are good, you are King, you are Lord. And on this Easter Sunday where in some ways it's muted because we can't sing, but our spirits are rising towards you. And I just pray, Spirit of God, that you would meet us today, whether we're watching online, whether we're in this building, whether we're watching on catch up during the week, that the truths of these words would break into our lives in a fresh way. We'd know fresh joy, fresh peace. Yeah, in Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Oh, do take a seat. If you're in the building and if you're at home and you were standing, then take a seat as well and be comfy. Welcome again to our service. Thank you so much. Wonderful worship band. I think they deserve a round of applause because that was just great. I was really, you know, it is quite hard not to sing, isn't it? It is hard not to sing, but, you know, we have to be obedient. But I just really wanted to sing and I was enjoying watching them really sing their hearts out. So my name's Rachel and this is Tim. And we are kind of hosting this morning. And so thank you for joining us. If you're joining us online, you're so, grateful that you're joining in. And if you're new in the building or new online, then we really would love you to fill in our contact form, which means that we can connect with you and you can find out a little bit more about us. We can find a little bit more about you. And it's no strings attached, but it just means we can connect. And in the days where it's hard to connect face to face, it means that we can do that online. So do fill it out. We'd love to get to know you.
And there's been people answering the question online, what we've been doing. So there's a number of lunches happening. Trudy's doing some gardening and then an afternoon tea. Sounds very lovely. George is seeing his girlfriend for the first time since Christmas Day.
Oh,
it's
my gosh.
100 days. Shirin is doing some Persian kebabs, barbecuing for her parents
who
haven't come around. And Ellie Manley, God bless her, she's arranged an Easter egg for the whole of her street.
Oh, that's amazing. Which street was that?
We could just make a diversion on our way home.
I do love an Easter egg.
So obviously there are people as well whose plans haven't quite worked out as they intended as well. A few little kind of things, people being on their own on there. But it's a time where we remember that the good news of Jesus is breaking in. And Dave is going to come and speak to us now. There's a little kind of video, and then Dave will be here, and then we'll follow on with communion if you want to get your communion ready back at home.
Happy Easter to you. I'd like to add my Christ is risen, and hear you say he's risen indeed, because I love that. So, Christ is risen.
He
Hallelujah. And it's great to welcome some people who haven't seen for months, some people who haven't been in the church this last summer, and some people here for the very first time in the building today. That's great. And if you're watching online and you're watching for the very first time, thanks so much. And we do hope that we'll be able to get to know you. And for those people who are part of Woodies as we reopen church, it is wonderful to be in the building with you. So do book your tickets and come over the ensuing weeks. Now, it's also, for those of you who are part of the Woodlands family, it's Claire Thompson's birthday today. So happy birthday, Claire, if you're watching. She's probably still in bed, but anyway. Right, down to business. In the 21st century, human beings are likely to make a serious bid for immortality. Those are the words of Yuval Noah Harari, author of Sapiens and Homo Deus, Israeli intellectual. And in his book Homo Deus, he describes how the high-tech and billionaires of this world are making a serious bid for immortality via things like genetic engineering, regeneration of decaying tissues, nanotechnology. The PayPal co-founder, Peter Thiel, who's a billionaire, said, "I think there are three possible modes of approaching death. You can accept it, you can deny it, or you can fight it. I think our society is dominated by people who are into denial or acceptance. I prefer to fight it." And in 2013, Google launched a sub-company called Calico, whose stated mission is to solve death with life-extending projects. Woody Allen said, "I don't want to achieve immortality through my work. I want to achieve it by not dying." So why do we fight death? Why is there this human desire to avoid death, to put it off, and maybe even to attain some kind of ongoing regenerative immortality? The reason people fight death is because if there is no God, when you die, it is the end of the world. There is no more universe. There's nothing. As far as you're concerned, when you die, that is it. It is non-existence. Even in the Bible, where the Old Testament has a very limited view of life after death, resurrection wasn't an idea that was there in the early days of the Bible. In fact, even in the time of Jesus, the religious authorities, the Sadducees, those people who were responsible for the temple worship, they didn't believe in resurrection. They mocked the idea of resurrection. They mocked the idea of life after death. When Jesus came into Jerusalem on that last week, they told him this kind of story just to say how ridiculous you are, Jesus, believing that there's life after death. As they told that story about a woman who had seven husbands, who's she going to be married to in the afterlife? And that was their bit of ridicule. There is, I think, this primal resistance to non-existence, to not existing, that many people feel as a real, visceral, intense thing. There's a real kind of lurking fear of not being, of non-existence. And of course, because Jesus' religious enemies didn't believe in life after death, they thought that actually killing Jesus would get rid of somebody who was a nuisance, a real thorn in their flesh. And of course Jesus knew that, and in Matthew 21, in his again in that last week of his incarnate life, he told a parable about them, and he talked about a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, built a watchtower. This is Matthew 21. He rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants, the tenants, to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one. They killed another. They stoned a third. He sent other servants to them more than the first time. The tenants treated them in the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They'll respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his vineyard. Take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. And Jesus was very, very aware that his enemies saw him as somebody that they could silence forever by taking his life. And the very powers of evil, the supernatural powers of evil, saw human vulnerability in Jesus, saw a way in which, in their predatory malice, they could take the life of God's servant. And so we see on the events of Good Friday this tremendous collusion between all the powers, the religious powers, the political powers, the supernatural powers of evil, to silence Jesus. And yet Jesus took the risk of going through that valley of the shadow of death, of walking into death, of not avoiding death on the cross, but actually provoking and facing into those powers, because he believed in the scriptures. After Jesus has risen, and after the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit has been poured out in the church, Peter speaks to a great crowd that are there on the first day of Pentecost, who are marveling what's going on. And he talks about Jesus, who he says, this Jesus who you crucified, God has made both the Lord and Christ. And to back up what he says, he quotes from the Old Testament. I'm going to read from Psalm 16. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand. That is the psalm that Peter quotes, that gives right back in the Psalms of David this understanding of resurrection that's going to come. That's not just being risen from the dead, but an eternal life, eternal pleasures at your right hand. And that's the psalm that Peter applies to Jesus. And that's the kind of thing that Jesus himself knew and believed. Jesus trusted the scriptures. Even at the cross, when he quoted that psalm of lament, Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knows that the ending of that psalm is an ending of restoration. Jesus trusted God, and he trusted Scripture, and he believed that if he went through death for us, then God would raise him from the dead. It was something that was so hard for his followers to grasp. They didn't really grasp it until after it had happened, but Jesus trusted in his Father. So let's just take a moment and think about that first Easter Sunday morning. And actually, my friend Ade is going to be reading to us from the garden tomb, a reading from John chapter 20. So let's have that video up now. This is the first Easter Sunday morning.
John 20, 11 to 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look inside the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. I have seen the Lord. And she told them these things the Lord had told her.
Thank you, Addy. He loves to be creative, Addy. And that's actually, not everyone's got Nigerian costume to look like the Middle East, but Addy's got that in stock. So as we think about that first Easter Sunday morning and think about the surprise to Mary, who her first response was, they've taken his body away. She did not expect to meet him. And yet she encountered him speaking her name. He's risen. And she believed. And she took that message to the other followers of Jesus. And because Jesus is risen, his resurrection is so different from a prolonging of life by science. It's not just an extension of physical mortal life. It's brand new life. It's the powers of the age to come breaking in now. That is what resurrection is. It's the powers of this world which is going to be made new, beginning with Jesus. And that's a miracle, but it's a miracle that we are invited to share in. Because Jesus became one of us, we're invited to share his nature, that solidarity. And Jesus' resurrection, rather than shutting him up, rather than finishing this bizarre new religion, Jesus' resurrection expands his ministry, not just now confined to local time and place, but filling the universe. And actually, here today, as Peter says, the one you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And we're here today in this building. We're watching online. We're watching around the world. We're joining with men and women, thousands, millions, billions of people around the world, actually, to celebrate today. Jesus Christ is risen. And the powers of the age to come have broken into our broken, fallen world. And they're going to be completed on the day when he returns. So because Jesus is alive, we can know him too. And we're going to show a little bit more video of people describing the difference that knowing Jesus has made to their lives today, the risen Jesus today, impacting their lives. So let's roll that video.
Having Jesus in my life has transformed it for the better because he is the great bringer of hope.
I love Jesus because he's trustworthy.
Knowing Jesus means that even in the hard times, I know I'm not alone.
Knowing Jesus as my hope.
Knowing Jesus is cool because he's always loving me and protecting me throughout everything.
Knowing Jesus has given me an inner peace, joy, even when life is really hard. There's something in there telling me that it is gonna still be all right.
Knowing Jesus has given me a real desire to love and to show compassion to others.
And for me, knowing Jesus means I don't have to define my worth based on my own achievements.
Jesus has shown me the true meaning of love, joy, and freedom.
Knowing Jesus has given me a friend to always talk to and rely upon, no matter what is happening in my life.
Knowing Jesus is so great because I just know that he's always there.
Knowing Jesus has given me clarity about my life. There's someone who cares about me and I can always speak to.
Knowing Jesus has given me a completely different perspective on life and helped me to put my life back on track again.
Knowing Jesus has given me the inspiration to pursue justice in our society, just like he did.
Know that Jesus has changed my life. He has given a purpose to live by.
I love Jesus because he's always there for me when I need him and he always answers back.
Knowing Jesus has influenced my actions through his teachings. And I have avoided a lot of mistakes in my life, treating people a lot better.
Knowing Jesus has freed me and saved me by trusting him with my life.
Trying Alpha has helped me to get to know Jesus better and build a network of Christian family.
From the smallest atom to the largest objects, there's a creator behind their intricate design.
little selection of men and women, young people and older people from Woodlands Church, who believe that they have met the risen Jesus and he's changed their lives. Jesus isn't just for religious people. Jesus isn't just for Westerners. Jesus isn't just for Middle Easterners. Jesus isn't just for people in Africa. Jesus is for the whole planet, for every man, woman, and child. And because he's risen, and because he's expanded to fill everything, each of us can know him today. Do you believe it? It may be that today you're watching and you think, that sounds great. That sounds amazing for you. And you're not sure whether you believe it. We'd love to invite you to explore getting to know Jesus Christ. We'd love to invite you to our Alpha course, which was referenced there in the videos, just from one person, but a number of people of this church have done Alpha, and it begins on April the 28th. It's a great way where you can come together with other seekers, and you can ask the questions, and you can try and work out, is it true? Because if it's true, it changes everything. Tim Stanley was writing in the Telegraph today, and he said, Easter doesn't comfort believers. It turns their lives upside down. He went on to say that if it's true, if Jesus is risen, then there's a call to live a life of the greatest possible risk. When we're inviting you to follow Jesus, it's not just a comfort, though it is, the comfort of knowing that God is with you, God hears your prayers. It's not just the relief of having sins and burdens that are too strong for you, forgiven and taken from you. It's also an invitation by him to live dangerously in a dangerous world. We know that the world is full of danger, and that to stand for Jesus means continuing to take a stand against all those powers, the very powers that put Jesus to death. They've been defeated, but they've not gone away. But because he is risen, we get to share in resurrection life too. And we can join in the words right back in the Old Testament of Job, who said, even if I die, I'll live. Though he slay me, I will praise him. My prayer for myself and for all of us watching, for all of us in the room today, is that this Easter, we will reaffirm our belief in Jesus and go from here into the world to live as confident messengers, confident witnesses, having the sort of confidence that Mary had when she met the risen Jesus. Mary, who is just a despised woman, and Mary, somebody who we can't take account of her. She's just a woman. That was the culture of their day. And yet she met Jesus and she convinced his followers that he was alive. May we have that spirit about us, that we can know ourselves and convince a watching world of the good news that God is for us, that we've not been left as orphans, that death isn't the last word, that Jesus is alive and he's here today. So I'm going to say that to you again. I'm going to get you to say it back to me, that Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to have communion now, and Tim's going to lead us. It's where we reaffirm our commitment to that risen Jesus who died and rose again. So over to you, Tim. Oh, and by the way, just before Tim comes up, I love watching Bart play the keyboard, because Bart is a miracle. When Bart was born, he was told he would not walk, let alone do anything useful with his hands. His dad was the organist at Mount of Olives Church, and there was a prophecy when Bart was just a baby, one day he'll play the organ there. And here he is playing worship for us today. That's the evidence of the power of God at work, isn't it? Thank you, Bart.
So we're going to take a chance, as we meet here in the building and as you're there at home, to remember. And Jesus tells us to remember, and this year that we've had, where the present shouts so loudly with its pain and disappointment, now is a time where we remember. This Easter Sunday, we remember that death is not the end, But we remember Jesus and we remember what he's done. Actually, we remember that each one of us, we contribute to the world's darkness. And so we're going to say a prayer before we take communion. It's a prayer that just to help us to acknowledge our own hearts, our own actions, our own contribution to a world that needed to be rescued by Jesus. So let's just take a moment to reflect something maybe of the things that we've said this week, things that we've done this week, things that we've thought this week that have not only disappointed ourselves, but disappointed God. And let's say this prayer together that will appear on the screen. Father eternal, giver of light and grace, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in what we have thought, in what we have said and done, through ignorance, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We have wounded your love and marred your image in us. We are sorry and ashamed and repent of all our wrongdoing for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and lead us out from darkness to walk as children of light. Amen. On that night before he died, he took bread with his friends and he broke it. And he gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body that was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup and he gave it to each one of them and said, "Take this. This is a sign of a new deal. It's a new covenant. It's to forgive every kind of wrongdoing. Drink, each one of you, and receive forgiveness. Though we are many, we're one body because we all share in the one bread. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, Lord Jesus, until you come in glory. God of glory, who raised your Son Jesus, you have broken the chains of death and hell. Fill your church with faith and hope, for a new day has dawned. The way of life stands open in our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen." And let's declare together these amazing truths. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. What we're going to do is at home, do take communion as this worship song is being played. And if you're here in the room, we're going to be passing communion around. And it's a chance to remember Jesus in your own darkness, in your own pain, in your own sadness, to remember he's coming to feed you, to forgive you, to give you life. Let's celebrate together and remember him.
I believe in the risen one.
Jesus, we thank you so much that the life that's eternal has broken into our present. The hope that is eternal brings us hope in our despair. The love that's eternal meets us not only at the cross but at the empty tomb. And we say yes. We say yes to you, Jesus. This morning we say yes to you and to your kingdom. We celebrate all that you've brought to us through your death and resurrection. Amen. We're going to finish off with a traditional hymn that for over 100 years has been sung in English, and it's Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son. At home, if you want to stand up, you can sing as loud as you like. Here, we're going to stand. We've practiced humming, so we're going to hum in harmony. But let's stand together as we finish our service and sing to Jesus, Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son.
Jesus is alive. He really is. Thank you so much. Please have a seat if you're in the building. Actually, if you're at home, have a seat as well. Thank you so much for joining our Easter Sunday celebration. And it's been so great to have you. And thank you so much, Dave, for what you shared, your word. And if you are thinking about exploring faith, maybe this is the year where you think, actually, I'm gonna take a step and check out whether the Christian faith makes sense, whether Jesus is in fact real, then I'd love to personally invite you to try our Alpha online. You can do it from the comfort of your own sofa. It starts on April the 28th, and we would love to have you come along. You come along for the first one. If you don't like it, you don't have to come back. But it'd be great to see you if you're thinking about taking a next step in exploring faith. And I hope those of you at home have enjoyed tuning in. We've loved having you. One of my little personal highlights was the camera woman here raising her hands in worship. Camera one hand, hands up on the other. That's great. Love that. So I'm going to just close our service with this blessing. This blessing is from Romans 15. May the God of hope, who raised Jesus from the dead, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us in the building and online. Thank you for our amazing band and everyone that's taken part today. For those on our tech team who've live streamed it out so you can watch, have a happy Easter. Lots of love from us at Woody's. Bye-bye.